Welcome everyone to Screaming Boy Podcast, episode number 21. Now it is, this week is a very special week in, it's always a special week at the Radulation Broadcasting Network. Wow, what is, let's start that over. It's every week is a special week at the Radulation Broadcasting Network. But this week is actually another theme week, and it is Here in My Car Week. And Screaming Boy is very, very happy to be a part of this. And we were made a co-host on Facebook with this. So I'm going to claim that, even though I don't know if Mark meant that, but I'm sure he did. But
of course he did.
Of course he did. And then it's Here in My Car. Everything is car themed this week. Monday night, we actually did a live show of Source Material where we talked about Wacky Raceland, the new DC comic book, it's 2016 comic book series, 60 issues. And we had our thoughts about that. If you don't remember Wacky Racers from the 60s, the cartoon, then your childhood was deprived of such a gem. And then my childhood was raked over the coals by this comic book. So tonight, speaking of Source Material, with us is, as always, Jesse Starcher.
Good evening, gentlemen. Are you ready to talk some cars?
I'm ready to talk some cars. Adam is with us. Adam has missed out a couple of episodes, but that's because he has a life and I don't.
which is not true. It's not true. I just have more stuff going on than the average bear. So
I don't really have a life. But so this week this episode on Screaming Boy Podcast, we thought we would take a look at some iconic movie cars, because we want to keep in the synchronicity.
synergisticity.
of the Radulation Broadcasting Network and the Here in My Car week this week. Now, Alan, we've also had they reviewed Dude, Where's My Car? It was, I think they did it on trial. And then Damn You Hollywood actually did The Fate of the Furious, which I have not seen yet, but I really want to see that. Because, heck, I've seen the other seven, so why not the eighth one? I can't believe a movie franchise that started off as a – now, I love the Fast and the Furious, the very first one. I can't help it. Cars, good-looking women, guns, you know, the whole, you know, testosterone. Exactly. But you put it side by side with the original Point Break. Oh, the undercover FBI agent gets friendly with the ring of thieves who are on their surfboard / cars, falls in love with the girl in the ring of thieves. And then he, what? But no, but they've got taken it beyond that. And, I'm excited to see what they're doing with it. You know, they've got Dwayne the Rock Johnson involved in the last 17 or 18 movies that they've done. And, because that feels like how many there are. And unfortunately, this is the first one without Paul Walker.
Yes.
So, yeah, his untimely passing. So I really want to see what they're going with it. Apparently, I have not – I'm sorry, Mark, I have not listened to it yet. But apparently, Dom is a bad guy in this.
Ooh.
Dominic Toretto.
Not going to watch it. Not seeing it.
Well, you know, it's just like he's a bad guy in the same way that his girlfriend was a bad guy in one of them, probably. Has to do with, I don't know. But anyway, if there's one thing that we can all agree on, something that makes a movie really good is a car chase. And with that, you have to have, or a car scene, we'll say that. You have to have that iconic vehicle in it. You have to have, whether it's an action movie or a comedy or something, there's always a, you know, they have to have, they don't have to. There's plenty of movies without cars. but there has to be, you know, in your more modern movies that are set in today's settings, not your historical movies. Of course, they're not going to have cars in like Last of the Mohicans or anything like that. If there was, there would be some serious factual errors with that movie.
Yeah, but how much better would it be? How much better would that movie be with a car chase?
You can't. No, I know every word to that movie. I love that movie. That's a little secret about me. I really like Daniel Day-Lewis's version of Last of the Mohicans. That movie, Daniel
Day-Lewis in general.
Yeah, pretty much. Daniel Day-Lewis. I mean, he apparently lived in the woods like Hawkeye of the Mohicans.
Wow.
Yeah, he lived like that. He lived like that for so many months beforehand.
Does that kind of stuff. He's that method actor. He's a really hardcore method actor, isn't he?
Like, yeah, he contracted some kind of disease or something because he was living off the land.
Oh, geez.
Yeah, it was bad. His body weight dropped, everything. I don't know if he knew how to hunt before he went in there. Guys, he's like, just give me a knife. I'm going to go for it.
Guys, I have dysentery.
You got into that role, didn't you? I'll be back. I got to go to the bathroom.
Not every car. Not every movie. Let's put it like this. There are movies that have that iconic car that you know comes from that movie, that if you see it on the road, you're like, oh, man. You just immediately say the movie that car came from. That's the car from so-and-so. Or oh, look, there's Herbie or whatever. So we're going to just take a look at you know, we pulled a list just like we used to back in the day. And we're going to look at 20 or 21 famous cars, some of the best cars from movie history. We got this from BuzzFeed, which actually has some really good articles on every once in a while, if you cut through the crap. But so
if you can tell which chain restaurant you are based on your Zodiac. Yeah.
Yeah. You cut through the crap and you have some pretty good articles on there. But so we're going to just start this off with a bang. Number 21, the Griswold Family Truckster from National Lampoon's Vacation, the very first movie, 1983. This car made it through umpteen vacation movies through National Lampoon's history. This, I don't know how many times Chevy Chase was behind the wheel of this particular vehicle. Go ahead.
I was going to say, man, I can remember watching that thing launch into the air. We're looking at a picture here. Nobody can see it, but after, you know, as they're going and doesn't he like get sidetracked because there's
a really hot girl in the next car over.
Yes, indeed. Then he ends up going off the road with his family in the vehicle and lands in the desert and tears that car up.
Tears it all to heck. I mean,
that's probably got to be the most famous scene that I know of.
Are you talking about the one from the actual National Lampoon's Vacation, or the one from Christmas Vacation? Because that thing literally happens in every movie.
That's right. I was going to say it happens in Christmas Vacation as well. I just recently rewatched the original 1983 National Lampoon's Vacation. I think it was like maybe a few months back. The movie's still funny. Oh, I mean, to this day, it is hilarious. But yes, that car went through a lot on the way. And you know, it takes a good car to make it across from Chicago, right? They're going over to California. Yeah,
they're going to Wally World, man.
Wally World.
To California.
So you gotta have some faith. You gotta have some faith in your vehicle.
And Clark being Clark doesn't book a flight. He packs everybody up in this gigantic box.
It's a 1979 Ford LTD Truckster, I think is what they actually called it.
It's a Truckster. Wood paneling.
Oh my gosh. What possessed people to put wood on paneling on vehicles?
That was the worst idea in the history.
It's like, hey, the industrial age has happened. What do you want to do? I want to make everything look like wood. Let's slap some wood paneling on this.
Let's make our car look like an old wagon from the old west.
Yeah.
But the thing is, though, like, Like, Jesse, you'll know what I'm talking about. Like, would you not kill to have this car to drop your kids off at school?
Oh, absolutely.
When they reach about 13, 14, 15 years old, I would drop them to school every day.
It's got to have the Uncle Buck backfire, though.
Yeah.
When I pull them into the school, just a couple seconds, like a kind shotgun. Of chicken, boom!
Oh, and everybody drops. So...
On a side note, I don't mean to interrupt you, but they actually sold this at an auction not too long ago, like August of last year.
Really?
This thing went for
probably a couple hundred grand.
What do you think, Jesse?
Wow. It's the actual vehicle from the movie.
Well, it's a production vehicle.
They used it at some point in the movie.
They use it, or this it was parked in the background, or some part it was in the movie at some point.
Yeah, because most of them they probably wrecked.
Ronnie's probably right around there. I will go 500,000.
Guys, we missed out on the deal of a century because it went for $39,900.
What? That's it?
It's got to be non-operational or something.
It comes complete with vintage luggage for the roof, a Wally World bumper sticker, and a dog leash that's attached to the back of it.
Oh.
You gotta be kidding me!
No, I'll send
you the dog leash.
Yeah, that's one of my favorite scenes in any movie when when they realize that the dog was attached to the back of this thing, and he's like, "Oh no!"
Yeah, and the cop comes and he's talking to him, and then Chevy Chase Clark, obviously, he's got to try and figure out a way of getting out of it, and he starts bawling. He hated that dog from the beginning, didn't he? Because the damn dog pissed all over
the sandwiches. Yeah.
I mean, and it was like just a dog doing what dogs do, you know? I mean, it was just being a dog. And it was a dad doing what a dad does, too, you know?
Yeah, just well, you forget. You got all this stuff going on. Sometimes it's at least it wasn't one of his kids. He can be thankful for that.
Right.
I wouldn't put it past
Clark Griswold. Oh, we'll go with that. Because he had his great the great aunt die in the car.
Oh, the vehicle's been through a lot, and we're only at 21 here.
They just dropped her off on the porch. I remember that now. But
that's funny.
The one story I have about the truckster is I'm on my way back from West Virginia to North Carolina during Christmas, or on my way to. I think it was on my way to West Virginia from North Carolina, and I passed by this. I passed by this house, and this house is. I look over, and they've got this big field for their yard. And I don't know if it's an exact one or not, but I see what looks to be like the Ford Truckster in the middle of this yard, middle of their yard. They've got this big yard, and it has the tree on top of it, with all the roots hanging off of it.
That's awesome. That was on purpose.
That was on purpose.
That's so purpose.
They went through, and then as you go along in their yard, they've got different scenes from Christmas Vacation. Setting up. They got they've got the mannequin with Cousin Eddie's clothing on it and everything. So you know he's got That's the hose. Awesome. It was incredible to see. And immediately, like I said, immediately, I knew it was from Vacation, the Vacation movies. Yep. It was the Griswold, it was a Griswold car. Okay, number 20, the 1957 Plymouth Belvedere from Christine. Are you all familiar with the movie and the Stephen King novel?
I'm familiar.
Of Christine.
I'm familiar with it, but I've never seen it.
I think I'm right there. I don't think I've seen it. I know about, what goes on behind, with the deal with the car. But I don't know if I've ever sat down and watched this movie.
It was terrifying back in the day.
I don't think I've ever sat down and watched the whole
thing. I don't want to watch it again because I don't want it to be ruined because I did the same thing with He-Man the other day, and I should have just left that in my childhood.
Cartoon He-Man?
Yeah, Masters of the Universe, But anyway.
Dolph Lundgren, or are you talking about the cartoon?
No, the cartoon.
Okay, gotcha.
Leave it in your childhood. John Carpenter was the director of Christine. It says he's a used car nightmare for one teenage boy whose first car is a haunted 1957 Plymouth Belvedere with homicidal tendencies. This car murdered everyone that was around. Like,
didn't it lock people inside of it? And,
oh, yeah. Yeah. So that, but you see a 1957 Plymouth and you think Christine, or at least I do. Now, if you can find the next one, number 19 on the list, if you can find this anywhere, please email me or put it on some sort of social media, because I've yet to see this out in public. But if I see pictures of it or I see it in the movie, I know exactly where it came from. It is the Mutz Cutts van from Dumb and Dumber.
Oh, yeah.
I don't even know what kind of van it is. It's just made up to be a giant dog with ears and a tongue and a nose and everything. And in the movie, he's got all these dogs from Mutz Cutts in the back of it, and he's went through a drive-thru. Remember that where he got him all these different sandwiches and everything with mustard? Oh, it was so funny.
There is an actual muttcuts.biz out there, just to let everybody know.
No.
Professional dog and pet grooming. You can find them online at muttcuts.biz. Well, maybe not. We have moved. Don't worry. We moved to a unit in the back of the complex. Well, regardless, you can go find them on the internet. It's an actual thing. But, dude, if you see this vehicle out and about, you're going to know exactly what movie this came from if you've seen it.
If you see this movie, Mutz Cutts, if you do not have a vehicle like this, then you have failed as a business.
Costa Mesa, California, I see no pictures of the Mutz Cutts van on the front page of their website. They call that an F-A-I-L, fail.
Yeah. See, and it even had the leg that hiked up so you could put the gas in it so it looked like it was peeing.
Oh, man.
That's wonderful.
Oh, all right.
Apparently, for Dumb and Dumber 2, they did a Mutz Cutts world tour, and they drove.
Yeah.
They drove this thing across the country, and everybody got their pictures. Oh,
you're out there getting a selfie.
Yeah.
I'm getting more than a selfie. I'm like, dude, can I drive this thing? Can I take it around the block? And then I'm like headed off to like Vegas somewhere.
Nice.
All right. Number 18. I've seen most of these movies. I remember watching this as a kid.
Oh, I love this.
Yeah.
Love this vehicle.
Herbie, the 1963 Volkswagen Beetle from
Ocho.
The Love Bug.
That's right. I remember watching these movies over and over I'm talking like 5, 6 years old. And I fell in love with Herbie. Whenever I didn't understand that Volkswagens were called Volkswagens Beetles. Yeah. Anytime I saw one, I called them a Herbie. Hey, it's a Herbie car.
That's
what I thought they were. And I can remember the little kid, I don't know which, I think it's Herbie Goes Bananas, where he kept calling the car Ocho. And everybody's like, why do you keep calling this car Ocho?
Number because 8.
5 + 3 = 8. It's Ocho. I love Herbie. I love Herbie.
Herbie could do a lot of things that a car. Well, of course, Herbie was a sentient being.
Yes,
but
he really. I referred to it as he. Yes, it really was.
Spoiler alert.
Yeah,
it has consciousness.
And if you want to watch a good Herbie movie, go back to the original 1968 movie, The Love Bug. Don't watch the Lindsay Lohan one. Mm. It'll ruin it.
You mean you didn't like that one?
Anyway, all right.
We were just off the cuff here. We were kind of going through and looking at a few movies, and some Herbie movies popped up. There's apparently some with Don Knotts in them. I mean, I don't think I've seen all of them because there are a lot.
There's a ton of Herbie movies.
There's a good bit, but Don Knotts in a Herbie movie, you can't go wrong.
No, you can't go nowhere wrong with Don Knotts.
Something else about The Love Bug is that this was the first time that, because I'd always seen them, and my older sister actually had a Volkswagen Beetle. It was like a 1977 Volkswagen Beetle. We drove to it in school. It was like, it was the biggest piece of crap ever. It would always break down. Like, it would always break down, and we'd have to like push it off the side of the road in a parking lot. It was awful. But anyway, I saw it, and I saw that it could be a race car. You know what I mean? Like, Herbie's a race car. He's not just a little one. He's a race car. So that's cool in and of itself, but it's the first time that I was like, okay, yeah, so Volkswagen Beetles can be cool rather than a piece of garbage that we have to push off the side of the road.
they kind of keep pushing it with that series, you know. Hey, we're going to give the car consciousness. Oh, hey, we're going to make it a race car. Okay, I'm past the point of believability here.
Yeah, we're just gonna give it a body, and
the sentient being was
gonna start talking. It's gonna start flying,
and then we're just gonna start creating the Cars movies. I bet you that's okay.
Moving on, we're going off on a tangent here, but the next one up is the 1970 Dodge Challenger from Vanishing Point, 1971. Now it's been a long time since I've seen Vanishing Point. But pretty much that Kowalski is the character, and it's the car. It's a 1970 Dodge Challenger RT440 Magnum. This is a car. This is American muscle. You know what I mean? This car is just...
This is the car that the new Challengers that you see on the road now, this is the car that they're modeled after.
Right. So in the movie Vanishing Point, an ex-cop Kowalski, Vietnam War hero, who bets that he could deliver this beast of a car from Denver to San Francisco in less than 9 hours. Did we mention he's also conveniently a former race car driver? So this movie was all about the car and the car trip and the car chase and everything. So this one is one of those movies where you just watch it because you know that's a phenomenal car. So that one ranks up there with a lot of the other muscle cars that we're going to be seeing on here. Are you all familiar with Vanishing Point?
I am not.
I'm not. No, I've never seen the movie, but I know the car that you're talking about.
Yeah.
I know the one you're talking about. I like car movies, but I've never seen this one. But I know the car.
So it's worth, I mean, like, it's a good movie. Don't get me wrong. I mean, like, it's a really good movie. So it actually has, yeah, Cleavon Little from Blazing Saddles, who played Bart, Sheriff Bart, he was in it. So it's not a comedy though.
What are those races that where people will drive like 24 hours to go from like one point to the other? And I can't remember the names of those kinds of races.
Yeah,
but like it's like teams of people, they'll drive like 24 hours straight to go from like New York to Orlando in like 24 hours, and then they'll go from Orlando to Austin, and then they'll go up to Chicago, and they go around the whole United States. And if they get there first, and they win the big trophy, and I cannot remember the name of those.
Is it Le Mans?
No, not Le Mans. It's an American race where, oh gosh, I cannot remember the name of this race.
Yeah,
not.
I'm scraping it. I know it's right there. And I can't remember it either, man. I know what you're talking about, though. But
I'll remember it before this is over. I'll remember it. Okay. Anyway.
Or the internet will remember. One or the other.
Next up on the list is the Pursuit Special from Mad Max, 1979.
Oh, goodness.
Long before Charlize Theron was in Mad Max Fury Road, Mel Gibson roamed the apocalyptic wasteland of the original Mad Max in his Pursuit Special. A black muscle car based on a 1973 Ford Falcon Interceptor. And it was known as, in the movie, the Pursuit Special is the last of the V8s. This is another one of those. I mean, you're not going to see this one because it was a tricked out car.
Yeah. This thing was clearly supposed to be in the future, post-apocalyptic. Yeah. You're not going to see this thing in the... it's not like they had a whole bunch of these coming out from Ford.
Right. But it was based on the 1973 Ford Falcon.
I don't know if I've ever seen a Falcon Interceptor ever, or at least paid attention.
Yeah, you're not. It's one of those cars that kind of falls by the wayside. I don't know much about them because I was never really into the – Mustangs were about as far as I went into Fords. And, you know, I was into, you know, the Dodges and the GTOs and the Chevys. So I probably missed out on a lot with Fords, but, you know, apparently they were a heck of a car. But, I'm at a loss there. Anybody else?
Well, Let me just go ahead and say that I don't know if I've watched a single Mad Max movie.
What?
Yeah. Neither the new one or any of the old ones.
Mad Max movies.
I'll sing you some Tina Turner here in a second, but I have never seen a I've never seen a Mad Max movie.
How about we don't do that?
How about we not?
We don't need another hero.
Hey, we're moving on. A lot of people don't realize that Gone in 60 Seconds was a remake of a 1974 movie called Gone in 60 Seconds.
What?
Yes, and I am an idiot. And on source material, on Monday night, I called Eleanor Lucille.
Another fancy girl's name for something that is not a car, but definitely
a guitar,
yeah,
or an instrument of death, a barbed wire wrapped baseball bat.
Oh, they could be one and the same, depending on who has it.
Well, that's true. Eleanor in the 1974 Gone in 60 Seconds was a 1973 Ford Mustang Mach 1.
That's a pretty car.
And just like in the remake, it was the crown jewel of all the cars that had to be stolen in the movie. Now, there's a little bit of variation between Gone 60 Seconds 1974 and the current one, but this movie was known for having wrecked a record setting 93 cars in a single chase scene.
Jeez.
So I mean that record was.
I've never seen this movie. Now I really want to.
Yes, you really want to see this movie because it's actually really good. But this was a heck of a movie. Like I said, the Mustangs, you know, in the 60s and the 70 Mustangs were my jam, man. And the 73 Ford Mustang Mach 1 was just a beautiful car.
That was an awesome car. Had a fastback on it. The color was less to be desired, but
oh no, that's that 70s feel, man. That beige baby poop.
Everything was brown.
Yeah. Gotta love it. All right. Moving on. This is a movie that we were, 2001 up to 2017, over the 16 years, they have made 8 movies, and it is the original Fast and the Furious from 2001. Is the 1970 Dodge Charger that belonged to Dominic. Now this is a muscle car.
Oh. This is probably my favorite car from any movie. I don't know why. I just like this one, and I think it's because there's a story behind it. You know, like even on Gone in 60 Seconds, you know, they have a story behind it. But this is like, you know, he built it with his dad, and he knows like all the specs on the cars, and he makes a comment that there's so much torque on the back tires that if he floors it, he will bend. He bends the frame of the car. Yeah. You know, so this is probably my favorite. This is probably my favorite car out of this whole list.
I'm not as partial. I don't know why. I mean, hey,
I get it.
I remember watching, it's been a while since I watched the first Fast and the Furious though. So, it just felt more like a car to me. How much of the movie is it in? Is it throughout the whole movie that he uses this car? Is it only in a couple of races?
It's only in one major race, and that was at the end.
Okay.
Yeah.
It's a sweet looking ride, though. Don't get me wrong. I mean, when you got, you know, that stuff coming out of the hood, and good golly.
Yeah. I've seen a couple of 70 Chargers, you know, roaming around. You know, of course they don't bring them out until like it's summer, and then you know the weather's good, and you know very rarely, you know, only drive it on Sundays kind of thing. Any time I'm with, they're like, oh man, look at that chart. It's just like from the Fast and the Furious. I'm like, kind of. But, you know, it's missing some hardware on it and probably a lot of tinkering under the hood. but it was one of those scenes where you take a car like this, an iconic American muscle car, and you put it up against the Japanese import that Paul Walker was driving and most of the people were driving in the movie.
don't know. That Supra was pretty sweet.
They put all the work into them and everything. And really, you don't put a lot of work into these. You know, you tinker under the hood, you replace some stuff, but it's still, you know, this is a ton of, you know, American steel. I just love these cars, man. And this
was also a 10-second car too, wasn't it?
Yeah. You owe me a
nice.
Yeah. I can't remember how many seconds. You owe me a however many second car. Okay, next one up is the 1960. Yo, go ahead. Go back. Go back.
We're going. Yeah, you go for it. We're doing a quick poll. Okay. All right. Which would you guys like? We'll start with Adam. 2017 Dodge Charger.
Just no.
Or.
Which would you prefer?
2017 Dodge Charger, or a 2017 Dodge Challenger.
Oh, geez.
Mm-hmm.
It depends. Does it have a Hemi in it?
Ronnie Adams.
Is that thing got a Hemi?
I'll let you be the.
Well, they have changed. They have changed since the '70s.
Okay.
The Charger is no longer. I mean, it's kind of a muscle car, but it's more of a four door. I don't want to say it's a sedan now. So if you ask me between the two. I would actually go for the Challenger because it's the new muscle car.
I would too, especially if it's the Hellcat version.
So, I know a couple of guys with some Challengers, and they're actually really, really awesome cars.
Oh my gosh, man! I'd love to get my hands on a Challenger just to drive it. Did I ever tell you? I don't think I ever told you this, but my dad had this wonderful. I mean, just a. I want to say it's a Cherry 60. I want to say it was a 68 GTO.
Oh, right. Dude.
You have
a mirror. Okay, go ahead. Sorry.
the 69 was the judge, right?
Yeah.
Okay. All right. So dad had like this gold 68 GTO. Always kept it under the car cover. When I say gold, it was like, you know, it was kind of like a brownish gold looking car. But he always kept it under the car cover, always out there every weekend, waxing it and washing it. A beautiful car. Hardly ever drove it. I got to drive it one time when I was learning to get my license. Had the little pedal on the floor. It looked like a foot for the clutch.
Yeah.
And my dad ended up, a sad story, he ended up getting a divorce. And he didn't want his soon-to-be ex-wife getting a hold of that, which she could have possibly tried. So he sold it to a friend of his for $1. So that he hurt my heart. He could get rid of it and then turn around. I think he turned around and sold it shortly thereafter, but for actual money. But he actually sold it for $1 just so he could get it out of his name and into somebody else's hands that could hold on to it. But yeah, dude, he no longer has it. It's been, I don't know, we're talking close to 20 years now. But I can remember sitting at lights with him. And dad revving the, people would come up beside him and see him sitting in that. And, you know, he's got the three kids in the back seat, whatever back seat there was to that thing. And you know, he's got his wife in there and people are wanting to race him.
Yeah.
Dad's just sitting there. He's like, nope, not going to happen. But man, when he would turn it loose at like a red light, oh, it was a dream, man. It was such a lot. That's probably the fastest car ever either rode in versus drove in my entire life.
That's amazing. I love it.
All right. Next.
Okay. Well, I was going to say you go up a year, and that's the car my dad had.
The 69?
He had the Judge.
Oh, man. That I told you I wanted to get my buddy on here to talk cars because he would have been all over this. And he'll tell you to this day that that's one of his – that and a Corvette is what he wants to get his hands on.
My dad had the Judge. From what I remember him telling me, he had the Judge and he was just telling me about this GTO he had, and it was just an amazing car. He ended up selling it and getting a four-door. I don't know why he would ever get a family car before he even had a family. You know, he got married in 74. I'm sorry. So I'm like, well, dad, and he's like, just, yeah. I was like, he was just telling me all about it. And he was telling me about, all about this car, reliving it. And I was like, oh, and he just looks at me and goes, oh, I wish I'd kept that car for you. Dad, why would you say that? Come on. So, and I'm like, yeah, I do too.
Man, and my mom
had a 68 Ford Mustang.
Oh my goodness.
That did they race each other?
No, they didn't know each other at that point. Mm-hmm. Well,
and then they fell in love.
And then they fell in love and realized they had awesome cars, and then whatever they had then. So, next up, the 67 Shelby GT500 from Gone in 60 Seconds in 2000. 26 years from the original Gone in 60 Seconds, whole new cast, whole new Eleanor. This time is crazy Nick Cage and Angelina Jolie with dreads. They have to steal 50 cars for a British gangster. And the original Eleanor, is the crown jewel of all the cars. And they have to steal a 1967 Ford Shelby GT500.
Oh, he drives the wheels off of this thing in this movie.
That movie, I mean, like, it makes the movie. This car makes the movie. I mean, just the whole chase scene with the Shelby. You couldn't ask for a better. I mean, like, a lot of people are down on Gone in 60 Seconds. I really like this movie because not only it was a car movie, you know, you got your, if you're a car guy, or even if you just kind of like cars, you were into this because there were so many beautiful cars that they stole. And then they had they had Eleanor at the end, but it was also a heck of a heist movie.
Oh yeah.
So, I mean, it was, I really liked it. So
you want to know something about this car in this movie?
What's that?
It wasn't actually a 67 Mustang. It was a completely different year. And what they did was they took a complete custom body kit and put it on this thing. So it's not quite a 67. It's in the 60s. I think it's like a 64 or a 65 fastback or something like that. And they just added things to it to make it look like a 67 GT500.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Huh.
Well, now that you've destroyed my world.
Hey, no, this car is awesome, man. This car is actually what got me into car movies.
Really?
Because I think it came out a year before. I think it was a year before, right around the same time as Fast and Furious. And I had not seen Fast and Furious. This came out, and I was like, holy cow, I love this.
This came out a year before Fast and Furious.
Okay, so I saw this, and then I watched Fast and Furious. I knew I'd seen this before Fast and Furious. But and it was a while before I'd seen Fast and Furious because I thought Fast and Furious was just another car movie. But I saw it, and this movie is actually what turned me on to car movies. Mm-hmm. So this is like, I mean, when I saw this, I wanted for the longest time a 1967 Shelby GT500. I wanted one of these so bad.
Did you ever look at one in person or see one or? I mean, just actually kind of.
One of the things that my dad and I do often is go to car shows. He would drag me along, and I hated doing this when I was little, but it's super fun now. Like I take my boys to do it, but we would go to these car shows, and inevitably there's always somebody there who has recreated this car. Usually there's four or five of them. Somebody who's, you know, got it right, and usually that's the one that I go, and they'll let you sit in it and you can talk to them about it. And that's how I found out that the one in the movie is not a 67, because one of the guys, I guess, was doing research on it, and he found out through, you know, emails to people, and I think he finally got it from who knows somebody who worked on the movie, said this is a movie prop. It's made to look awesome, so it's not really a GT500, but it's got some different years on it. Like if you look at a 67 Shelby GT500, it looks nothing like this at all.
Now if you look at the movie Gone in 60 Seconds, there are on the internet there are lists there, you can find the list of the 50 cars,
really, and
they're correlating code names. But if you just look at it, you've got Aston Martins, you've got Bentleys, you've got Cadillacs out the Waz. You've got Chevy, you know, the Bel Air convertible, Camaros, Corvettes, Corvette Stingray, big block. Holy crap. The Ford F-350 4x4 modified. You've got Dodge Daytonas, Dodge Viper, Ferraris, Yukon, Humvees, Jaguars, Infinities, or Jaguar, sorry, Lamborghini.
We're not Jaguar. Not a Jaguar.
Lexus, Lincolns, and Mercedes-Benz, Mercury Custom, Plymouth, Porsche, Pontiac, and the Shelby AC Cobra, and the Shelby Mustang GT500, and Land Cruisers, Supras, and a Volvo Turbo Wagon R. There are so many beautiful cars in this movie. Oh, it's just, you got to watch it and watch them heist all of them. Next up, love it or hate it, it's the 1966 Ford Thunderbird convertible from Thelma and Louise.
It's a good car.
It is a phenomenal car. I was talking about the movie Love It or Hate It. Okay. You're going to recognize this car mostly from that movie. It's just an iconic car. You can see it in a bunch of different movies. You know, most notably Thelma and Louise. Beautiful car. Thunderbirds are, you know, have always been just a gorgeous vehicle. But you know, you mostly know it from, if you can name another movie that has a 66 Ford Thunderbird that is so prevalent, you know, is the focal point of, you know, is a part of the characters. I defy you to find another movie that has this movie, this car in it.
What is the defining scene from Thelma and Louise with this car in it?
Where they drive off the cliff into oblivion, holding
exactly,
hands.
Exactly. Yep.
All right. Next on the list is a little known race car named Lightning McQueen from the animated Cars franchise. And I'm kidding when I say little known. We don't know what kind of car he is. We just know that Lightning McQueen is a pretty, you know, I feel silly putting this on the list because he's not even a real car.
Well, you know, there's plenty of kids, my 3-year-old included, who knows who Lightning McQueen is.
And probably kids.
My 3 and 5-year-old.
Your all's kids probably look at a red race car and go, Lightning McQueen.
Lightning McQueen.
So, he is based off of a Chevy Corvette C6.
Ah. Okay.
I guess.
Yeah, look at you, Mr. Wikipedia.
That's exactly where I got it from.
Well, I wasn't calling you out. I was just calling you Wikipedia. I wasn't trying to, you know, because
to me it looks more like it's got different design features of different.
You know what it looks like to me? A red car with eyes.
I get your point.
You know, there were so many adult jokes in this that like the two fans, you know, that are girls that are flashing their headlights at Lightning McQueen.
Oh my goodness.
What the heck?
Nice one.
You can't do that with kids. You know, the kids are not going to get it, of course, but any kid can see a red
until just now.
Yeah, it destroyed your world, didn't I?
It's not fun to watch with my boys now.
So, you know what, son? Those headlights. Well, hey, it could be an education. It's an educational experience now. Okay, just go into it with that. Birds and the bees. Cars.
Anatomy lessons.
Never put them both together until now.
Yeah,
I'm sure there was some tailpipe references, stuff like that. You know.
And there's even one about like where it doesn't the Porsche. She puts up her spoiler and there's like pinstriping on the back of like there's a tattoo.
Oh yeah, like she had a yeah. See, stop it, guys.
I love those movies though, man. They're so good, and it's like the only role that I think Larry the Cable Guy is good in because that role is perfect for him as Mater.
Oh yeah,
that's true. I mean, like I know Jesse's a big. Layer the Cable Guy fan.
Oh, we can get her done.
Oh my gosh. Anyway, any kid that sees a red race car is going to look at it and think Lightning McQueen anymore. Any kid of a certain age. Next on the list is another red sports car, and it is has a very iconic scene in it as well. It is prevalent in the whole movie, and it is 1963 Modena Spider California from Ferris Bueller's Ferrari. Day Off.
Oh, man.
Ferrari.
I mean, they're just – it's so great that they decide, like, hey, let's try and turn the speedometer – or the speedometer. Let's try and turn the odometer backwards by driving in reverse.
Yes. And then it goes crashing through the
the thing kicks out from underneath it. It gets traction and drives backwards out of this beautiful. I mean, even to this day, this garage is amazing because it's all glass and it's like
the what's the architect Frank Lloyd Wright that like it's like his Falling Waters.
Oh yeah, yeah,
yeah.
It's like out there in the middle of nowhere. Woods. Mm-hmm. And there's this beautiful building with these gorgeous cars in it, and it goes flying out the back.
I mean, who cannot identify with Cameron whose dad probably mm-hmm. you know, anybody out there who has a dad who owns a sports car, you know, my dad included with the GTO. I can remember do not ride your bikes around that car. Do not get close to that car. All right, you are paranoid. You don't want to be anything near this car. And then, just like this article says, here comes Ferris Bueller, who puts it out in a tree.
Yeah,
I mean, you're dead. You're pretty much like, okay, well, where am I going to live now? Because my dad's going to disown me. Wow. And I so identify with Cameron here.
Yeah, but I mean, this article really kind of brings home the fact that Ferris Bueller is an awful friend.
He's a douche. I mean, I'm getting there looking at it.
He didn't
get into any trouble, but poor Cameron. Besides being conned by Bueller into committing truancy, you know, skipping school, impersonating a police officer, and motor vehicle theft, Cameron also finds himself peer pressured into taking the heat for the destruction of his dad's prized possession, which really it was all Bueller.
Man,
what a
he is a D-bag, man. I just realized that I don't like that movie anymore.
So we've ruined Cars and Ferris Bueller in less than 5 minutes.
Yeah. All right. So moving on, we have. one of the best, you know, car movies of all time, the 1977 Pontiac Trans Am from Smokey and the Bandit.
Oh yeah,
with the big old bird on the hood.
Mm-hmm. Man, just I love
screaming
that car.
Redneck joy.
Oh man, you don't know how many I saw these growing up in Southern West Virginia,
and they're still there, probably.
Oh, you have no.
They're in somebody's yard.
So here I have a story about this car. In college, I worked at Best Buy, and we had a sales manager who was maybe 2 years older than me. And he came into work one day, and he looked a little disheveled. I'm like, Wes, what's going on, man? He was like, well, I got a new car. And I was like, oh yeah, what kind is it? And he's like, it's a 1977 Pontiac Trans Am, exactly like the one from Smokey and the Bandit. And we were like, oh sweet,
nice.
And we're like, you need to drive it in. He's like, I can't drive it. And we're like, why not? And he's like, it's in pieces. And I was like, what do you mean it's in pieces? Apparently, his mom knew somebody who knew somebody who knew somebody who had this car, and she said you could have it. And he's like, I could have it. So he drove like 2.5 hours to get this car, only to find out that the entire car was disassembled.
Oh, geez.
He brought it home in Tupperware cases.
Oh,
what?
So he had to make like 4 or 5 trips back and forth, and he would bring home like the hood in one trip, and he would get as much as he possibly could.
Did anyway, dude get it together?
He did, and I saw him not too long ago, almost maybe a year before I left West Virginia. I moved out of West Virginia. I saw him, and I asked him about the car, and he's like, yeah, I finished it. He's like, I finished it like 6 months.
Oh.
2015. He bought this thing in like 2005, so it took him 10 years.
It's hilarious.
So,
yeah, but he has a 77 Pontiac Trans Am now.
He does. Yeah, I mean, you can't cry about that.
Article says, things were really different back in 1977. Coors was regarded as one of the finest beers in America, and the Pontiac Trans Am was easily one of the baddest rides in the country. Mm-hmm. And it is the Pontiac.
T-tops.
This T-top 1977
Cannonball
Pontiac
Run.
Trans Am Smokey and the Bandit
Cannonball Run
has become one of the most iconic cars in cinema history. Next up, this car is easily one of my favorite movie cars of all time, and so one of my favorite movies of all time from 1980, the Bluesmobile from the Blues Brothers.
I love that movie.
This is a decommissioned Mount Prospect police car that was purchased by Elwood Blues after he sold his old car in exchange for a microphone. This car could do things that no other car could do. It survived. Oh my gosh! It performed a full backwards flip in midair, plowed through a busy shopping mall without a hitch, jumped an open drawbridge, evaded law enforcement on multiple occasions, and could carry a giant speaker, a loudspeaker on top of it with no problem, without a dent. So, and surprisingly enough, it says in the article, surprisingly enough, its cigarette lighter doesn't work.
That's one of the funniest jokes in any movie, by the way.
Right. And Elwood and the Blues Brothers, Jake and Elwood, on a mission from God to save their orphanage, the orphanage they grew up in. We're on a mission from God.
Mission from God.
This movie is one of my favorite movies of all time. It is a phenomenal movie. And it just wouldn't be the Blues Brothers without the police car, the Bluesmobile.
I'm going to read from the wiki specifically.
Right ahead.
The Blues Brothers. And in the wiki, it has a section just called Bluesmobile. All right. The film used 13 different cars bought at auction from the California Highway Patrol to depict the retired 1974 Mount Prospect, Illinois Dodge Monaco patrol car. The vehicles were outfitted by the studio to do particular driving chores. Some were customized for speed and others for jumps, depending on the scene. For the large car chases, filmmakers purchased 60 police cars at $400 each, and most were destroyed at the completion of the filming. More than 40 stunt drivers were hired, and the crew kept a 24-hour body shop to repair cars. For the scene when the Blues Brothers finally arrive at Richard J. Daley Center, a mechanic took several months to rig the car to fall apart. At the time of the film's release, it held the world record for the most cars destroyed in one film until it was surpassed by its own sequel.
Yeah, yeah.
So,
Blues Brothers 2000.
Very interesting.
Yeah, and that was, I mean, while I love the Blues Brothers, Blues Brothers 2000 left you a little wanting.
The
good thing about Blues Brothers 2000 was the music. The very end of it, they had every guitar player that you would ever want on stage.
Everybody that was influenced by blues or was a blues music. Musician. Oh,
yeah. Like everybody from Dr. John to Eric Clapton. Yeah.
BB King, Muddy Waters. Stevie
Wonder's on there too, yeah.
I don't know if Stevie Wonder was on there, but I know Travis Tritt was there. There was just a ton of musicians.
There was even like horn players from like the early 70s and 60s.
Paul Schaefer from the Paul Schaefer Band.
Yeah.
He was in that movie playing the keys. So it was just, you know, that movie was incredible with the music. But and even more even cooler was that they used the same car, not the same car, but, you know, they still had the Bluesmobile, you know, from 1980 to it wasn't the year 2000, but it was still called Blues Brothers 2000. But so the Bluesmobile just brings back such good memories. The next one on the list, I don't know if y'all will be familiar with it. The car maybe, but not the movie, but the 68 Ford Mustang GT from Bullet.
Oh yeah, I love that movie.
Steve McQueen, Bullet.
Seen it.
Oh, you got to watch it just because it was the definition of just cool, you know? The movie set the bar on car chases in cinema, while It was, I mean, it was just this. You have to see this movie for car chases. Bullet was an amazing movie. The 68 Ford Mustang GT is just another classic muscle car that just, oh gosh, I just got a thing for these classic cars. You know, a lot of people are like, oh, it's so blocky. Oh, you know, yeah, but it's solid metal and it has an engine that will take this solid metal frame faster than you would ever think.
And ran on real gas.
And ran on real gas.
Yes, not this unleaded crap that they give us
and
now.
Gas and testosterone and the tears of your enemies. So, all right. No, the next on the list coming up, you got, if you're going to have a car, a movie, you know, a movie car list, you got to have this one on here. James Bond's 1963 Aston Martin DB5 from Goldfinger.
I love this car.
This car is gorgeous, and it is the quintessential James Bond car, as the article says. The whole package, timeless class, fierce horsepower, technological ingenuity, and did we mention an ejector seat?
Wasn't like all his vehicles tuned up with some kind of crazy thing every
Q always had something, you know, something put in his gadgets. Yeah.
Made him a spy, man.
Now, if I'm not mistaken, it wasn't this one that had – it had guns in it, right? Ejector seat, guns.
They would come out of the headlights or something. Yeah. Or something in the front. It was a machine gun.
But if you just look at the Aston Martin, the 63 Aston Martin, this thing was just a beautiful machine.
It was awesome.
So, all right. Next on our list, another, you know, you can't. Hey, this was just mentioned the other day. So the 1992 Ford Explorer XLT from Jurassic Park.
Oh boy, my Ford Explorer booming with the trunk. listen, I saw one of these.
Yeah.
It was about a year ago, actually. And I don't know if I sent you guys a picture of it. I know it was about a year or so ago, but the church that my daughter was going to. Apparently, there was some kind of this traveling thing where they bring the Jurassic Park car and somehow tied into some kind of religious theme or whatever. But regardless, I mean, you see this thing. There's no mistaking it, considering it has Jurassic Park written on the side of it. But,
what movie is that from?
I think I've seen that somewhere.
Wait a second. Tip my tongue.
Really familiar. I don't.
E.T.
I can't even put my finger on it. Yeah.
So this. I don't know. I mean, I'm going to go out on a limb here and say I don't know if you would really know this particular vehicle if it weren't for the paint job.
I agree 100%. I mean, there's plenty of Ford Explorer XLT. I was behind one in a drive-thru earlier. I mean, I'm going
to the car. Exactly.
This is literally the car that you see in the Walmart parking lot that has been there for about 2 months because nobody will come back and claim it, you know?
It's just that common.
Yeah, pretty much. I mean, it's a Ford Explorer. I mean, my goodness.
I agree. I'm not going to see one of these and go without a paint job and go, oh, yeah, that's the vehicle. I know it is.
When I get older, I'm going to buy me a Ford Explorer. That's the car I'm going to have.
I'm going to hunt dinosaurs in my Ford Explorer.
Yes, sir.
I don't know why I sound like a redneck when I say that. my uncle and aunt drove a Ford Explorer. There wasn't anything really special about it.
That's all you can really say.
But I will say that the article points out something very, very, very interesting. And what made these Ford Explorers cool was that for touring the Jurassic Park grounds, they came equipped with night vision goggles,
walkie-talkies,
and coordinated motion sensor systems for detecting and identifying dinosaurs. So,
spared no expense.
Exactly. Ford Explorers or not, I mean, God, this was.
It's got an interactive CD-ROM.
All right, we're winding down. I'm going to switch things up a little bit because I think it's how it should go.
The next one on the list is the Batmobile from Tim Burton's Batman in 1989. Iconic movie car.
Yeah, you're going to recognize this with no matter what paint job it has.
Right. I mean, it's
what movie,
it's
what movie is that from?
Now, one of the cool things, seconds?
Bridges of Madison County. Yes,
Driving Miss Daisy. Driving Miss Daisy. It has to be.
If that's what Morgan Freeman put what's her face in and drove her around in, that movie would have been worth $7.
Awesome. So, carry me to the store, Hulk. Hold on. Flying out of the bat cave.
There's like no rocks anywhere. He's going everywhere. He's not using anything that has any asphalt on it. It's just all off road.
Or he hits that button and the fenders fly off, and just the middle of the car drives through the alley and he parks there.
Holding on, going, Hulk, what do you think you're doing? I'm carrying you to the Piggly Wiggly, you know.
Miss Daisy.
It just, yeah, it's just, no, listen, that movie is, I'm not going to lie. I loved Driving Miss Daisy. I thought Morgan Freeman was incredible in it. But to see him drive the Batmobile with Miss Daisy in it would be even better. You know, it's just, just incredible. Machine guns, oil slick dispensers, smoke emitters. It just, you know, it the list goes on with the Batmobile. But more recognizable than some of the Batmobiles that they've had over time, this is one of the most recognizable Batmobile. You know, the original Batmobile was just a fancy car with a giant bat head on it. What were you going
to
say?
Oh no, never mind. I'm saving it up. I'm saving it up till we hit the top. Right. What we got? Top three next?
No, this is the last two.
Oh, this is the last two. Okay.
Yeah.
This is the top next, three. You're
yeah. That was number three. The next one up, number two on our list, from 1984. The Ecto-1 from Ghostbusters.
Yeah.
You cannot see a 59 Cadillac hearse and not think Ghostbusters. And that iconic, you know. Yeah, that's what. Yeah. Just. And, you know, it was just incredible. I mean, 1959. I mean, who would think to take a Cadillac hearse and turn it into the monstrosity ghost busting machine here? Ecto.
Oh, yeah.
It just, you know, all this, you know, it looks like PVC pipe and stuff on the top of it. You don't know what it does, but you know it does something.
You have no idea.
Yeah.
So, exactly.
You know, we met a couple of Ghostbusters at Tricon not too long ago. And it was, they have their Ghostbuster gear. And I think it's another thing like the Stormtroopers, they have certain sects of their
clan
or whatever, and they dress up and go to different cons and stuff like that.
Are you talking about River City?
River City. What did I say? Tricon? I mean, River City Con. RC. Yeah, River City Comic Con.
Yep,
Tricon is in Huntington. So, in River City, there was a couple of Ghostbusters there, and they were incredible. But I didn't see an Ecto-1, and I was really disappointed. No. So, Ecto-1 is number two. Number one on the list, this is why Jesse is here. And I defy you to find another icon, a more iconic car to put on this list, something more recognizable than this, than the 1982 DeLorean DMC-12 from Back to the Future.
Oh, what a beauty. Time machine.
Why not do it with some style?
That's right, buddy. That is right. And man, I'm not going to be able to do this car justice at the number one spot where it absolutely deserves to be. Mm-hmm. I wish I could drop all sorts of knowledge on you other than the fact that everybody knows I'm
was a piece of junk.
It really was. In real life, it was.
In real life, it was kind of a piece of junk.
It was made of, if I'm not mistaken, it was made of, I think it was like solid steel.
Solid steel.
Weighed like a million pounds.
Yeah. I'm so sorry. I don't mean that in a bad way. But I mean, of course, in the movie, you couldn't find a sweeter ride dude. Than that. You know what I mean?
Back in 1982, this was the car, man.
Yeah,
you know, this was
the car. Absolutely
the car.
When you see one of these going down the road, I mean, this is the movie you think of. There's no mistake in it. If you've seen the movie, you immediately think Back to the Future when you see one of these DeLoreans. If I'm passing one on the road, I don't care. I'm handing the camera to many of them to get a picture of that, because you don't see him very often. It's a pretty rare car, especially like you said, it's a piece of junk. Because if you find one running, you know, if one is actually running, that's pretty rare as well.
I hate to say it like that. It wasn't like, yeah, it was, yeah, it was kind of a piece of crap. As an actual vehicle. Look at this
thing. Gull wing doors.
Exactly. I mean, you had the suicide doors on it, or gull wings, should say. Like, you had the, it was just
two seater.
That's all you could get in it. For 1982, this thing was aerodynamic out the yang.
It practically looks flat.
Yeah, I mean,
I don't know how far you, when you sit down in the seat, you're probably like, I don't know, maybe 7 inches from the ground.
Yeah, this thing could, I know it was meant to boogie. And we know that it got up to
at least
88 miles per hour.
Mm-hmm. You're going to see some serious stuff.
Yes, you are. We were looking at a picture of it here on this article, and there's only one problem that I have with this picture. And Jesse, can you guess what it is?
If it's something that sticks out, I mean, this is what we're looking at here is the part two. Mr. Fusion in the back.
Mr. Fusion on the back. If we're talking about the original one, it wouldn't have the Mr. Fusion.
Ah, from 85. Okay.
Yeah. So it's got all the hardware on the outside of it, but it did not have the Mr. Fusion to turn your garbage into fuel.
That's right. One of the things
plutonium.
They did a wonderful job with. A lot of the movies on this list did. But I'll always, of course, give props to my favorite franchise ever, Back to the Future. But one of the things that these filmmakers did is they made the car a significant part of the movie. And what you'll see if you watch a lot of the Back to the Future 1, 2, and 3 – clearly, that is the vehicle that they have to use in order to get forward and backwards in time. That is also, you know, imagine being there in person watching the smoke roll out of the back of that of Doc Brown's truck and this thing just slowly creeping down into the mall parking lot. And that was one heck of a way to introduce a vehicle into a movie. The music, the mood, the visuals, and that throughout the whole franchise, they put the camera work on this car to make it feel like it's a character sometimes. Right now I'm listening to a podcast that goes minute by minute through the Back to the Future franchise, and they are in Back to the Future 3 right now, and they're at the point where Doc has to drop the DeLorean onto the tracks. And if you remember that shot from Back to the Future 3, I mean, almost every shot of the DeLorean is from the ground looking up at it. A lot of times when it's just the DeLorean, because it makes it look that much more magnificent. And when that Doc drops it onto the train tracks and it just kind of rolls right up to the camera. Absolutely deservedly. I'm clearly biased, but I will give the DeLorean first place every single time. So,
well, it deserves it because that car was as much as a character as Marty McFly was.
Yes,
in those movies. So, I mean, a lot of people could say that. You know, you have your favorites and whatnot. You could say, oh, the Batmobile was a character, or the Aston Martin. But really, really, I mean, the only other one I could think of that wasn't focused around that vehicle would be, honestly, Smokey and the Bandit.
And how heartbreaking was it to see in the final shot, or not final shot, but in the final parts of of part three when he makes it back to 1985 and a train plows through it and just demolishes it. I mean,
I got a little weepy-eyed.
Well, I always do every time I watch this franchise. This thing had been through all three movies, and finally it did its final job, and then a train just comes and plows through it and destroys everything. All that hard work Doc Brown put into it, the spectacular design that coked-up DeLorean created.
And, it's so true. He was.
It's funny because it's true.
That's true. But anyway, I shall stop gushing now.
Oh, you're fine. So guys, that's our list. We stole it from BuzzFeed, where you can find, the list of, they said 24 most iconic movie cars of all time. We deleted some from the list because frankly, I don't think the Burger Mobile from Good Burger really needed to be on there.
I was trying to think of some honorable mentions that didn't make the list.
I think this is a pretty exhaustive list to be
honest. Yeah, it's pretty good. I immediately thought of Maximum Overdrive, but that's a semi truck.
Yeah.
So probably why it didn't make the list.
And it wasn't really centered around one vehicle. It was the machines. It was all the cars and the everything.
Then all of a sudden I'm starting to think of like Kit from Knight Rider, and I'm like, oh, we're talking movies. We're talking movies.
So,
the Beverly Hillbillies truck.
But we're talking movies.
Talking shows. We're talking movies.
There's a movie with it.
Yeah, but we don't talk about that.
Jim Varney.
Oh,
man.
Well, you can find this list on BuzzFeed right between. Oh, you'll only understand these 47 photos if you're an 80s girl. And
what?
Seriously. These are the, and
thanks,
plant
BuzzFeed.
A garden and we'll tell you a deep truth about yourself. Right between those two articles, you can find the most iconic movie cars of all times. BuzzFeed, you can be a complete waste of time sometimes. But this was a good article.
By the way.
Agreed.
It's Cannonball Run. That's the name of the race that goes across the country. And they do it as fast as they possibly can. It's also
I was going to say, yeah, it's a movie for sure. I didn't know that's actually what they called the race.
There's an actual race.
Yeah, the Cannonball Run. Yeah.
Yeah.
Oh, interesting.
They go from place to place to place to place, and they try to get there the quickest. And I mean, you got to pay your own speeding tickets and everything.
Well, you got to do what you got to do.
And just a little tidbit before we leave, that Jackie Chan was in the Cannonball Run.
Was he?
Yes, he was.
They had all sorts of stars in the Cannonball Run.
Yeah, as well as Cannonball Run 2, which was not very good.
Smothers Brothers. I would do the bit that they do on the plane right now, but we'll keep this PG, folks.
Yeah. So with that,
Death Race.
Oh, and then there's also Cannonball from 1976 with David Carradine, and that's the only people I recognize from it. Robert Carradine as well. That's the only people I recognize. But so with that, we're going to leave you with the list of our we stole from their list, but we removed the ones we didn't agree with. And those are the most iconic movie cars of all times. If you think that we've missed a car, or you think that number one shouldn't be the DeLorean, which you're wrong, please let us know. Social media, Facebook, just look for Screaming Boy Podcast. Look for us on Twitter, Screaming Boy PR, Instagram, Screaming Boy Productions. You can email us at info@screamingboy.com. Let us know. Get in touch with us. We would love to hear from you. Jesse, tell us what you got going on, my friend.
Ah, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, we're nearing the end. I think we're coming up on the end here. That's this show for Cars Week. So go back in the Rattlesnake Broadcasting archives to check out Here in My Car Week on the Rattlesnake Broadcasting Network. I do a podcast on there, as Ronnie mentioned, called Source Material. We just covered Wacky Raceland, and Ronnie was excited, twisted my arm, said, we got to do this. Mm. I said, all right, buddy. I said, all right, we'll do it.
That's how that went down.
You got to stick around, listen to that podcast for Wacky Race Bot. Oh, buddy.
Let me. No, I'll just save it.
Sit back. All right. So give the Rattle at Your Broadcasting Network Facebook page a like to stay up on top of all the great podcasts that we have to offer. We offer a gamut of things such as wrestling, MMA, comics, video games. It's all on there. So why not subscribe and check out some great content? You can follow me at Stiznarkey on Twitter. You can also follow my show's Twitter at SourceMatCast. That's all I have. Thanks for having me on here, gentlemen.
No, hey, as always, you are a member of the Screaming Boy family. So, I mean, shoot.
Thank you.
No need to thank us. Thank you.
No need to thank us for being in your own house.
Exactly. So.
This got creepy all of a sudden.
Yeah. I don't know how I feel about all this. Mm-hmm. Anyway.
You guys are in my house or I'm in my house? I don't know whose house I'm in.
Yes.
Who are you and why are you in my house?
Yeah, we'll just say yes to that. And
all right, then.
Plus, Adam. Tell us something about yourself.
You're talking to me?
No, I'm talking to the other Adam on the podcast.
You talking to me? Adam, you talking to me?
Just
no. You can find me at Adam is a Nerd on Twitter. Not very active right now because I got some other things going on, but I promise I'll probably start putting some stuff up there that's interesting, that I find interesting or cool or, you know, something like that. You know, I'm trying to also get our stuff out on Facebook. I'm sure Ronnie will tell you all about that stuff. But other than that, that's me.
Yep. Once again, you can go and look for us on any kind of social media. We're right there. You can find me on Twitter at Shonuff, SH0NUFF. Guys, we really want to hear from you. So please, give us a like on Facebook, follow us on, you know, Instagram and Twitter, shoot us an email. We would love to hear from you. Click the 5 stars, click the subscribe button. Check us out on Rattle at Your Broadcasting Network on Blog Talks. You know, we're Screaming Boy and Radulich are on just about the same outlets. We've got iTunes, Stitcher, TuneIn. So just find us on any one of those. And guys, we're not kidding. We really want to hear from you. So with that, I will say for Adam, for Jesse, I'm Ronnie. We are out of here as soon as I find the button.